There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening and welcome to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board from me and looking dapper as ever, my co-host and producer, Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
I dressed up just for you.
And you look sharp tonight, buddy. Uh-huh. I appreciate it. We got a good show for you. I'm glad everybody tuned in with us yet again. Share us an evening of paranormal activity and talk. We're going to be talking to a few different guests. Our first guest up will be David Warner. We're going to be talking about out-of-body experiences, astral projection. And then in hour two, you got to stay with us because we've got Zach from Ghost Adventures on the Sci-Fi Channel is going to be joining us and talking to us about his amazing documentary that they filmed and talk about some of the what I think is some of the best evidence I've ever seen of paranormal activity. So I appreciate you being with us. Hey, I want to make a quick mention. UnivCon is right around the corner for all of you paranormal fans. If you're looking for a place to come out and talk, you want a chance to share your evidence, you want a place to talk to the experts and see what's going on, UnivCon is one of the biggest and best paranormal conferences on the planet. We're going to be out there with Jason and Grant, Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns. You've got Lloyd Auerbach. You've got Lorraine Warren. You've got Father Labar, I believe it is. I'm going to be out there hosting the Darkness Debate. It's chock full of great things. Michelle Bellinger will be there talking about vampires. Anything and everything you could imagine is going to be there. Keith and Carl, the demonologists, are going to be out there talking about demonology. There's Patrick, I believe, is doing a workshop on EVP again. So there's something for everybody. It's very affordable. You can come spend the entire weekend, hang out. There's a couple different packages. Check out their website at univcon.org. There's a link for it right on our website. Just click on the flashing banners, and you'll be taken directly to their website. Read all about it. I would highly recommend it. This is UnivCon, I will say, is one of the main reasons that I started doing the radio show. It really piqued my interest. There's so many great speakers, so many great fans of the paranormal that hang out. And it's just a fun party atmosphere that's going on for the entire weekend. So I hope that you'll join us out there and say hi. And I believe my cuddly and handsome co-host is going to be joining us at UnivCon this year. Is that right, Tim?
Trying.
All right, good deal. So Timmy will be out there. So for all of you that hasn't had a chance to meet Tim at our events, if you're going to be out at UnivCon, you'll get to go out there, and Tim will be giving out free hugs. Just so huggy and cuddly. So make sure that you do check that out. Again, click on the flashing banner on our website, and it'll take you directly to UnivCon, and you'll be able to read all the information there and get tickets. You can also, I think there are still some tickets available to have for the celebrity dinner where you can come eat with all of the celebrities that'll be there as well. So I hope that you will check that out. We are very near sellout on the Stanley and the Queen Mary events. I'm guessing probably here within the next 2 weeks we're going to be sold out of the event. So if you've been sitting on the fence post and you are interested in going, please check that out. I also want to direct your attention for all of you that are wondering about the Darkness events. Not sure if you want to attend, not sure what to expect. The adorable girls of Mars Productions, they're Ashley and Rachel, a couple of young filmmakers, along with their mom Terry, have done some really great little video scrapbooks, if you will, DVD scrapbooks of our events. They've got the Stanley, the Queen Mary, and Eastern State Penitentiary. And you can check them out by going to our website at darknessradio.com, click on the products link, and there's a link there that'll take you directly to their site. You can order their DVDs. They're normally $24.95 a piece, but they've got all three DVDs in one set for just $50, free shipping. So you can go in there, and it's great. Each one's about an hour long, and it shows highlights from each one of the events, highlights from the live ghost hunts, highlights from the speakers that are there, highlights from our charity auctions. So for $50, you can get a taste of what all the different events are like. And for those of you that were actually there and you'd like something to take with you, they're beautifully made DVDs, great packaging, nice DVDs themselves, and I'm sure if you order them and ask the girls, they'll even autograph them for you because these two girls are going somewhere. So make sure that you check that out. It is well worth the money. And again, otherwise you can pick up individual discs at just $24.95, or you can pick up the package of all three of the events for just $50. So check that out at our website on the products page. We are going to get going into our talk tonight. This is something that's interested me for a long time, Tim. I've had experiences with out-of-body experiences myself since childhood. I think they're out-of-body experiences. We're going to talk to David Warner here, and we're going to find out a little bit more about out-of-body experiences, find out what the difference is, or is it simply just a difference in terminology of between out-of-body experiences and astral projection. So let's welcome to the show Mr. David A. Warner. Good evening, Mr. Warner.
Good evening, D. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate you being here with us this evening.
Not a problem, not a problem. It's definitely an honor and a pleasure being on your show.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, we're catching a little bit of weird static on your phone line. Are you able to hear us okay?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
okay.
No problem.
Let's talk a little bit about this. As I mentioned, your website, and you talk about out-of-body experiences, OOBEs. What is the difference between an out-of-body experience and an astral projection? Because from my experiences and the history that I've grown up with, out-of-body experiences are kind of that surreal moment between life and death when somebody dies on the table in the hospital and they're kind of floating up over their body looking at things going on, or they're in a car wreck and they're outside watching the body in the car. To me, that's always been what I've heard is an out-of-body experience. Astral projection is actually where your soul can leave the body and fly around and see the different planes, see different realities. What is your definition of the two, or are you using them as all-encompassing?
My thoughts and feelings on it, they are closely knit tied together. You know, the out-of-body experience and astral projection, I feel from my personal experiences is that they are very close together in regards to the consciousness, because when you do go out of body, you do see yourself at times from a different point. And then when you do astral project, you know, your soul, your spirit body is moving out into the spiritual. So all in all, and again, this is, you know, personal experience, this is preference, everybody experiences different things when they do project or if they do have a astral projection or out-of-body experience. For me, I try to break it down, basic, fundamental, it's all one.
Okay. Now, have you ever had a near-death experience yourself?
No, I have not.
Are you willing to try one? No, I'm just kidding.
not anytime soon.
Now, with your research that you've done and people that you've spoken to, you know, I'm wondering if the out-of-body experience is at the way of alleviating pain, because so many of the people seem to be ripped out of their body immediately during traumatic experiences. Have you learned anything about that during your research and looking into this? As so many people seem to be there witnessing what's going on, but they don't have the tactile presence. They don't feel anything.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to talk to a good friend who actually had three near-death experiences. And when I was able to communicate with him about my out-of-body experiences and his near-death experiences, as he would explain to me, he was also able to have a conscious out-of-body experience without having an NDE. So he could actually see, you know, the comparisons. From what he explained to me, the out-of-body experience is a true separation from the spiritual body, but there's certain elements that are missing. Like when he explained to me that there is so much more going on in the near-death experience, you know, the trauma, you know, the loss of temporarily, you know, physical sensations, trauma, that when you do, you know, leave the body through the NDE, you are at a higher vibrational rate, which you're traveling into the higher spiritual levels.
Okay.
And from what I've seen, you know, personally, through the out-of-body experience, not having an NDE, is that I'm on a lower level trying to reach into the higher plane levels. My friend mentioned to me that there's so much more going on at once the feeling, the emotion, the love, the forgiveness, the life revealed in itself. There's just so much more that's, you know, being presented to you at the time of NDE. And I think that's I feel that is a product of, you know, a physical separation from that body into the spiritual body, but raising your vibrations without realizing it and shooting yourself into the higher spheres of the spiritual levels, as if somebody is starting from, you know, ground zero, leaving their body, they will be in the spiritual level, the lowest one, called the astral plane. And I've had the opportunity to actually move into the higher spiritual levels, which I can see and feel the differences. So when somebody has NDE versus somebody just projecting, I guess the best way to classify it is that, you know, the NDE-er is the one that would have, like, top priority over the somebody that is just trying to leave their body, because their situation is like, you know, red flag alert here. Mm-hmm. You know, this person's dying. We need to come in, the guides, angels, whoever to be, to help that person and assist them.
Now, do you know, from the near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, and astral projection, I know from things that I've read and have been, you know, somewhat witness to in my own life, astral projection seems to have more of like acid trippy colors. You can see the silver, you know, strand, things like that. Do near-death experience have that same recollection, do you know, where they see or they can sense or feel that silver cord that supposedly attaches our soul self to our physical form? Have you ever heard of anybody relating that as well?
Not so much from the indie ears, but from, you know, the people who've been able to project, and especially like with me, I have had the opportunity to see that silver cord and even touch it, and it feels like a telephone wire wrapped together very tight. And if you put your hand on the wire, you know, you have that sensation, that feel, the touch of the wiry, the cable that you actually feel that is attached to you, to the spiritual, and then, you know, to the physical body. That's what I was able to perceive in a few experiences that I had set up for testing.
Now, it said, according to your website, you started having out-of-body experiences back in 1987. How old were you at that time?
That was roughly about 19, 20 years old.
Okay. All right, so we're around the same age, so we're both going through the same, because that was around the time that I started to, if you will, experiment with astral projection as well. So it sounds like we had similar situations. Now, were you actively trying to astral project, or were you finding yourself doing these things and then you were looking for answers on what caused you to be having these experiences?
Okay. I had a few experiences prior leading up to the time that I, you know, became interested in astral projection. I didn't realize what happened, and I just dismissed everything as a dream. And what really propelled me to research and study and experience this phenomenon for the last 20 years was a good friend of mine, Matt G., who lived in Detroit. He was reading a book on astral projection, and I had asked him what he was reading, because the cover was kind of provocative with a woman coming out of her body and you could see her breasts. And I'm asking him, like, what are you reading? And
right.
I, you know, with some kind of like pornography or whatever.
Exactly.
And he explained to me about astral projection. So it was just right then and there, everything resonated with me that I know this guy is telling me the truth about this. And I just feel something inside, you know, that, you know, I've done this before, but I just can't really put my finger on it. And then really, back then when I had first really started working on it and in reading and just trying to get to the other side, it took me about, I'd say, close to a couple months to achieve that state. And when I kept trying and failing over and over and over again, I would just fall to skepticism. But when I let my defenses, you know, go, my barriers just decided, you know, and I'm not even going to try anymore, because I just put all my time, all my energy, my thought, you know, nagging to people about this, reading as many books, liminal tapes, you name it. Once I gave everything up on that, let it go, let it happen naturally, the OBE presented itself, and then from there it was just a life-changing event, which I knew the first experience, you know, that was it. And then the other experiences that I had in the past, I could start seeing some correlations of previous encounters that I had dismissed as a dream.
Okay. With astral projection now, I mean, you know, you said that you were kind of reading and learning about this as well, and you were trying to force, I know a lot of people try to do that forceful thing. Now, do you believe a lot of the main theories are that if you fly in dreams, that is a form of astral projection? Do you believe that is true, or do you believe that that's more conventionally, psychologists believe it's just your mind is freeing itself up from a lot of the stresses of the day and it's trying to cope with things? And if you do believe it's a form of astral projection, how do you know the difference between astral projecting and it just being a vividly imaginative dream?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Yeah, that's I've seen personally for myself, and what I feel, to answer your question, yes, you know, when you are flying, you're actually are leaving the body, and you are literally flying. Now, the best way I can explain from what I've seen and experienced in the OBE and how to differ between the OBE and the dream is, imagine this. Okay, as you and I are talking right now, we're focused on this conversation.
Right.
Okay, and there's certain moments in the conversation we can be thinking of other things, and we can actually start to daydream. And once you start to daydream, you're unconscious of this level that you and I are talking about, and then instantly we are pulled back. Now, the same thing with astral projection. When you're out unconscious, you're just focused on just the dream itself and just going naturally about whatever is being thrown at you, and you just act out unconsciously. Now, when you finally awake, you are presented with a full level of alertness, your senses, your emotions, your thoughts, your love, your feelings, everything is all intact, and the environment remains static. You don't have dynamic fluctuations. You don't have changes. You're able to think rationally your intent, your goals, your dreams, your desires of what you want to carry out. Now, getting back to what I was trying to explain earlier is that I've been able to leave the body, go on with the experience, and at that time, as I start to as I start off in that experience, I would test to try to daydream. And as I start to daydream, I start to slip into that actual thought, that intent. And then I'm able to snap out of it, which I find myself back at where I was originally started and where my I wanted to start to daydream again. In other words, here I am at point A. I'm going to remain steady here. Then I'm going to start to daydream, which I'll be at point B a little bit, but when I snap back, I'm still at point A. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, I'm starting to get the feel for that. You know, we're going to take our first break of the hour. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest is David A. Warner, and we're discussing out-of-body experiences and astral projection. Got some interesting theories that I want to talk to Mr. Warner about, and hope that you'll stick with us. If you have any questions, remember this is a pre-recorded show. It is brand new. You've never heard the show before, but it is pre-recorded as I'm out at Dragon Con. So we won't be able to take your questions for this evening's show, but we will have Mr. Warner back in the future. So if this piques any questions for you, just let us know, and we'll ask him in the next time we have him back. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Mi amo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say.
Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
Try not to fall asleep. We'll only give you nightmares. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, and I appreciate that you are here with us. We're here every Sunday night from 10 to midnight Central Time with a brand new show for you. I appreciate you tuning in and telling us about guests like David Warner. He was brought to my attention through some of the listeners. So if you have guests, ideas, people that you'd like to hear, topics you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email either Tim or I at dave@darknessradio.com or tim@darknessradio.com. We'll do our best to acquiesce and get those guests on the air. Ooh, acquiesce. Big word, huh, Tim?
That's a huge word.
Yes, that was on my thesaurus. I don't remember exactly what it means, but it just sounds cool to throw in big words like that.
My word of the day, sprinkly.
Very nicely done. All right, we're going to get back in with our guest. Our guest is David A. Warner, and we're talking to him about out-of-body experiences, astral projection, those terms that people may recognize a little bit better. Now, David, let me ask you, too, with astral projection, let's kind of get into some of the nuts and bolts of this, too. Are people able to project their soul from their body into our reality? So if I'm sitting at home, can I make myself present to Tim here sitting in the radio station?
Okay. I have not been able to do that, and I know there's been, through my reading, that other people have been able to. Or they've been able to leave their bodies and see parts of the physical world from a spiritual vantage point. And they were able to later on come back to the physical body, call that friend, and explain to him or her that they saw them at this time doing this sort of event, and that was later verified with that other recipient. Now,
doesn't that, in a sense, kind of sound like what people are referring to as remote viewing as well?
Yeah, but I mean, you are physically or spiritually energy, your energy body, you're transferring that consciousness and moving it into the spiritual body, which then that spiritual body, you have that separation.
Okay.
And you're actually, moving your whole energy body to that location. And I do think that, remote viewing and also with, astral projection, it all ties into one because, you are literally, moving away from that point, that physical body. It's just, it matters how you interpret it and how you would like to explain it, if it's an out-of-body or if it's a remote. Remote viewers, they can just be in one location and start seeing things which they could be seeing, distant objects, people, places, events, without having to go into a trance state or using their third eye to actually see that event. As for I would go into a trance state and then literally execute the mechanics of leaving the body, where I'm just like the point of energy traveling, with my spiritual body to that location versus not being mobile as the remote viewer would be.
Now, are there dangers with doing astral projection? I mean, here are some of the current fears I know that people have. There's the rumor that the silver cord could be severed and that you're strapped, in between astral planes and no way out. That if somebody touches you during astral projection. It can sever that cord and keep you separated from your body. You can actually be physically wounded while in that form. If something attacks you on the astral plane, it can affect your physical form. What do you know about those type of rumors and thoughts on the whole out-of-body experience?
Well, everybody has, a different interpretation, their own personal experiences. I've been at this for the last 20 years, and I've had over at least a good couple thousand experiences, to document and narrate. I've had my good experiences, the beautiful experiences, just, all loving, and I've had, the negative experiences, too. I mean, it's just fact. You're going to have good, and you're going to have bad. And yes, there were times that I thought I was in life-threatening danger when I was presented with a certain experience at the time, and I would just will myself back to the body. It's also confronting that experience at that time and seeing, why am I, afraid of this event. As for, people dying and everything, there's really no documentation to show if the person's dead, the person is dead. They're not going to be able to come back and write about it. I guess the real, the big one would be for the NDEers. I mean, they're the ones who've actually separated from the physical body into their spiritual and been able to come back and explain what had happened. And that's pretty good documented, well, proof and evidence that supports, that NDE theory and moving to the spiritual body. As for somebody just leaving the physical body into the spiritual body, again, it all comes down to personal, what the person is receiving at that time. I guess a lot of it is, personally for me, I've been stabbed, I've been, skewered with flames from, from entities and poked and jabbed and everything else, and I would usually just confront the source and find out, why are you doing this to me? And about 9 out of 10 times, they just explain to me, I just want to be your friend. That's it. And I'm like,
what are we, 5 years old on the playground? We're going to punch each other, and that means we want to be friends?
Yeah. I mean, I had a couple on the other side come after me, and they had me down, and this guy's just taking this knife and just trying to just stab me right into my shoulder blade. And the woman's holding me down, and the guy's just putting the knife into me. As I mentally was able to get my thoughts collected, calm myself down, and overpower them with mental telepathy, then I was able to just confront the problem and just ask them, why are you doing this? And then they just come out and tell me flat out, we just want to be your friend. I'm like, well, that's just a one way of giving me a good welcoming here,
What are these people or characters or spirits that you're bumping into? Are they ghosts? Are they discorporeal humans? Are they people that are stuck on the astral plane? Are they entities from another planet? What do you believe that you're running into?
This particular scenario that I just described, there was just a man and a woman coming after me. That was it. They weren't gruesome or disfigured or green or three eyes or anything. I think it was just a couple that had passed from the physical into the astral, and they were just trying to make contact with other people, say, hey, I'm here, so I'm going to attack you so that way I get your attention. And once they got my attention, then I was able to communicate with them a little bit more in depth, asking questions. Now, other
entities, let me ask, though, because I'm having a hard time, I'm sure some of my listeners might be. So when you say somebody's passed, so do you believe on death people go through different planes of existence before they reach their heaven or Mecca or wherever they're going? How did these people get cast into this astral plane that you were being attacked by them?
I believe it deals with spiritual growth, learning, and realizing that in physical life, we have different stages. We start off when we're children, we try to absorb, learn, just
see Mom and Dad, follow after their patterns, their footsteps. We go out in the world. We make all our errors and judge bad judgments and, you know, our pros and our cons. And then later on, and, you know, once we start to mature, we start seeing that, you know, that spiritual growth, or sometimes we don't, or we just don't get it. And I think I feel that it applies with the same on the other side, too. There's other levels of knowledge, of wisdom, that actually brings us into the higher plane levels. So let's say, for example, if somebody's just here in the physical world and they're just, you know, their life is just money, 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 and that's it. Now, and they don't start thinking about, you know, other people in the world. They don't start thinking about, you know, their friends and their family, just themselves. They have to go through a process of a learning phase in this physical life. And then when they do pass on, chances are that they could come back and try to learn again, to where they need to learn a different role in their life. And it's just like in the astral, when I do leave my body, I have seen that progression where when I first started, it was, wow, cool, I'm out. Let's, you know, go into cheerleaders' locker rooms. Or,
yeah, woohoo, now you're talking.
you know, girls, party, you know, fly out in space and have all types of fun. But later years in my progression, I've started to learn that it's just not all about that. What it's about is about helping each other. It's about letting your barriers down to be a better person to your wife, your family, your children, to your coworkers, to the neighbor, to the person across the ocean, and taking part in global community. And to start to love each other versus getting into the drama and getting on with, you know, what really is more important is helping each other here on this level and in other levels, to where we can all see the big picture. And that comes down to the last 20 years of my experiences. I've seen that in play, and that was like that letter, that growth. You know, one step at a time, and where I am right now in my life, I wouldn't trade it to even go back 20 years ago, because I learned what I needed to learn, and I still got a lot more and farther to go. Because, like, right now, I have learned through my experiences that, you know, I want to love the world. I want to help the world versus just me, 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 me. It's about me helping you. It's about me spreading the word about love. It's about me trying to be at, you know, to be the best that I can be for this level and in the next. And examples that, you know, I can illustrate for you is that I'm a hospice volunteer, a spiritual companion to the dying, you know, people that at their life's end, I'm there holding their hands, crying with them, and saying, you know, I am here for you. And that's what the whole connection is about. Versus just focusing on just me and money. And that's, you know, it all plays out. It's all education. It's all spiritual education that brings us up into the higher levels. And that's what I think God would want us all to do, is to be one big unity to help each other and to love, versus what we're faced with now in these days.
All right. Well, that's a good theory, at least, and a positive message to be sharing. Let me, not that I want to beat up on the scary stuff, but let me talk. You mentioned that you've had your not-so-good experiences, too, by doing this. What are not-so-good experiences, and what can people do to avoid them when they're trying to learn to astral project?
Okay. One experience I can remember back in the early days, I was in a trance state. I was able to leave the body. I'm lifted up, I'm looking in the bed, and there's this entity, or whatever you call it. Had kind of like a dark cloak on, you can see his face, all I could see is kind of like reddish-greenish eyes, and a hand coming out, choking me to death. And, you know, this mental telepathy that we're going back and forth communicating, this entity is telling me, take my hand, become one of us. And I'm like thinking, no way.
Right.
And I'm just like scared to death here, and I couldn't breathe. I'm struggling, yeah, I'm between, you know, the physical and the spiritual body in that kind of cataleptic, catatonic state, you could say, mm-hmm. and paralyzed with absolute fear, and I'm just struggling for my life. And once I was able to kind of confront that fear and kind of relax myself and just, you know, praying to God, say, hey, help me out here, then I was able to come back. And then after that experience is over, it's like I finally do physically wake up thinking, there's just absolutely no way I want to go back to sleep. But, you know, I have to. You know, I'm human. I have to sleep. We have to have energy. Now, that's on, like, a real major scale of what I've been, you know, at the most been real, you know, in a bad scenario. Now, other smaller scales is that I do have a fear of going out in space. And in one of my experiences, I was testing the speeds of how fast I could travel in the body. So all I remember is that, you know, I'm starting out at my geographic location, which is my mom and dad's home. I'm flying, I'm hitting the clouds, I'm out in the orbit, and I'm looking back at the Earth and the Moon, and then I'm just shot out into some galaxy with just spirals and spirals of galaxies that you just, I mean, there was just stars all over the place. And I'm just freaking out here, thinking to myself, I am scared. I, you know, what's going on here? I don't want to be out this bar, and I'm just, like, just trembling to death. It's like, help me, help me, help me. And as I kept on, you know, wanting to come back, closing my eyes, I'm back, I'm back, I'm back, you know, clicking my ruby red slippers, no place like home, no place like home. You know, I opened my eyes, and I'm still there. And as I was able to kind of accept where I was at that time and calm myself down and realize, wait a minute, you know, I'm fearing a lot more than what is not to be feared. And it's educating myself. Sure. And just kind of sometimes just jumping off and exploring. And once I overcame that small fear, then I returned back the way I had came. And then when I had awakened, I realized, wait a minute, you know, I just feared more than it wasn't.
You know, this almost sounds like, and I don't mean it in any form of disrespect, these sound almost like bad drug hallucinations. When you have a good one, they're good. And what you're afraid of, you know, when you have a bad trip, if you will, it's a bad trip.
Yeah.
You know, I've never taken a hallucinatory drug that I'm willing to admit, but no, but I've never taken one for that fear because I don't want to have the bad trip. I've seen friends go down that and be totally wrecked. So it almost sounds like that. So, I mean, let me ask you that question. We've got a minute here before commercial break. Have you ever tried drugs to expand yourself to be able to do these astral projections easier?
Okay. In my real earlier years, yeah, I was, you know, I did smoke marijuana a few times here and there, and that's pretty much the extent of it. You know, now it's I don't drink, I don't do alcohol, I don't do drugs, and my experiences with the out-of-body has blossomed even more than, you know, something that I would try to actually evoke through that type of sort of experience, you know, through drugs. Because drugs itself, you know, a lot of different religions, you know, Indian shamans, they would use that to actually reach that type of level of that state, and that's trance, and that's part of their religious practices and beliefs, and I totally respect that. But for me, I would prefer to actually have my full sense of contact awareness when I'm out there and have better judgment and intent without being clouded with just being, you know, wasted or high or induced with some, you know, acid trip.
All right, good answer. We're going to take our second break here of the hour. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
If you read Tap's Paramag every month, You'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd and the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
Ghosts, goblins, witches, creatures of the night. Yep, that just about covers everybody Dave and Tim have ever dated.
My precious. Oh my God, this girl's really turning me on.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
And welcome back to the show. Our guest is David A. Warner. And David, tell us, if people are interested in learning more about you and they want to contact you about their experiences or read about your experiences, how can they do that? Where can they go?
Well, they can go to my website, www.invisiblelight.us. And I put the site up about a couple of years ago, and it's broken down in sections. You know, I'll give a brief overview of how I got involved with out-of-body experiences and how it has really kind of changed my life from just being a free-willed, spirited youth to more of a kinder, humanitarian, loving person, and that is driven by, you know, my family and my church and, you know, my work with hospice movement and everything else. All that information's on that site. I broke down my website in like three sections where you can access my journals from starting from like 1987 up to present. They are in Word document format where you can read them. You can also listen to me at least 30 hours of me talking about my experiences for the last 3 years that I started to seriously record them. There's video, there's frequently asked questions. That's where I would recommend it. All my visitors check out first, because these frequently asked questions is really helpful to the listener to understand me better. You know, talking on the radio for an hour just barely breaks.
Scratches it, right.
Yeah, but you really got to spend time reading through the material to get to know me. A good friend of mine, Mike, in Washington, D.C., him and I, we've been great friends for the last couple of years, and when we first started, we were eager to share our stories and help each other, but we realized, you know, to really learn, you really got to take part in that person's life, not just on a spiritual, but a physical and everything, and, you know, you just got to just really dive into the site and look at what's being offered. The biggest attraction to my site, and then what I've been getting a lot of information from, is people reading my statistics, because I broke it down in an Excel spreadsheet where I have my projection statistics of how many times in the last 3 years I've been able to project my food intake, if it's the latte or the frappuccino or if it's the Snickers bar, did it help me project, or the amount of hours, the validations and the coincidences and the synchronicities that I've been documenting there, too.
Have you found that there is specific foods and things you can do and eat to make yourself more prime? I mean, I know a lot of people, like in the vegan field, that believe that if you purify yourself, you're able to raise your vibrational level higher, faster, better. Do you find that is the case for you, that there are certain food things that you can eat or drink that will bring you to these levels a lot faster?
For me personally, no. I don't, and I'm not to say, you know, the vegans, their point is not invalid or anything like that. I would like to test that theory for me personally, but in the last 3 years since I really started wholeheartedly documenting this, I've had over 271 astral projections, out-of-body experiences. And, you know, would the number double, triple? I don't know until I really actually start documenting this. But I don't find any specific product yet, like if it's pizza or if it's the Starbucks Frappuccino latte.
Boy, imagine how big the sales would go up on that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Domino's Pizza, 3 for $15, and you get to astral project.
But I do find in my research is that the amount of sleep the day before has made a difference. I've also seen personally that the specific days of the week, I track probably the highest rate of my experience are going to happen on a Friday. Times of my experiences, the highest rate will be in between 9 and 11 o'clock. And I document this so that way I can see a better, clearer picture of where I stand. Because this also is a form of exercise, mm-hmm. educating yourself, what works for you, what doesn't work for you.
Well, now let's get to the nuts and bolts, because I know a lot of people want to know, and they're interested in astral projection. What are some of the fundamentals? So if people are interested and start to experiment with this, what can they do to start astral projection, you know, projection? Is there any specific format you recommend? You know, you should meditate a half an hour, you know, sit in a hot bathtub. You know, what is it that you feel is the best ways for people to achieve this?
The best way to achieve it is education. Whatever material that you can find out there on the net,
mm-hmm.
Community. There's two websites that I subscribe to, and I interact with the moderators, the administrators, astralpulse.com and explorationsinconsciousness.com. Communicating with other people about your experiences and different tips, techniques. There are many authors that I really enjoy reading. A good example, Robert Bruce is a big author, Robert Monroe, and just really educating yourself in the whole realm of, you know, the spiritual side, if it's from reading the Bible, if it's you know.
Well, that brings up an interesting point, too, because you mentioned religion and the Bible. Is there religious talk of astral projection? I mean, is that something that has been documented or mentioned in the?
Yes. I actually had the opportunity to read the Bible this last year from January to like April. It took me about like 4 or 5 months to get through it, and it was on audio. So when I'd go to work every day and back and forth, you know, here's an hour here's an hour there, listen to the Bible, and as I was, you know, reading, listening to each, you know, chapter and each verse and scripture, I would document the actual passage that, you know, this person was in a trance state and communicated with an angel. Well, I've been able to enter the trance state, leave the body, and yes, I've been blessed by a angel presence that took me into higher spiritual realms. So that's documented there, too. I mean, it's all over the board. You know, what's been documented in the Bible. There's even a passage, I don't know exactly what book it was, and I think it's, I know it's towards the end of the New Testament. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, he does talk about, I think it's in Corinthians, about boasting, about having an out-of-body experience and seeing the heavens. And that's documented there, too. I mean, with Moses communicating with God, if it's, you know, Jacob, if it's Abraham, if it's Daniel, if it's, you know, even Christ, you know, all that information's there on a spiritual, and it's like you got to question, wait a minute, these people are in a sleep, these people are in a trance, and they're able to actually have these visions of afterlife, you know, God communicating, angels, spirits communicating to them, and then they write this. I mean, how much more evidence do you need that, you know, back in the day, this was documented, and even today, it's still here in our society, and it's just absolutely a beautiful book for what I needed to research and to find personally for myself.
Do you find that the best way when you're doing a projection is your intent? Is intent what's going to keep you safe when you're doing it? Is intent what's going to help you get there? You know, I mean, how focused does somebody have to be able to astral project themselves?
That's a good question. Intent is the prime mover to my experience. I have to set my intent ahead of time what I want to achieve. Example, I tested this experiment about 3 years ago that I put a playing card on the back of the door, face down.
Mm-hmm.
And my experiment was to leave the body, focus, and then try to see the actual playing card, flip it over, you know, in the spiritual, the astral world, and then come back and see if that card, or if I was able to project to it. And that took me over a course of about 6 to 7 months to knock about 4 or 5 times to be able to see a card. And each time I would change cards. Yes, I would have valid attempts, but yes, I would get, you know, either color or suit or, you know, a number correct. So there was variations that, you know, it took to actually get there. And intent is a big thing, you know, being goal-orientated, reciting to yourself, you know, the night before or before you're going to sleep, this is what I want to do, because if you don't set your intent, you're just going to aimlessly go about, and you're going to be pulled back to the body a lot faster versus having that energy and that motivation and drive to get you to where you want to go. All you
right,
know,
so
if you don't get anywhere being lazy, you get places of having that, you know, those goals, those dreams, and that will ignite that fire to project you to where you want to be.
All right, great. So that is a major thing then for you, is you got to state the intent to
yeah.
get out there, and that'll help focus your energies for what you're doing as well.
I mean, don't be afraid to fail, because that's how we learn.
Sure.
And
it almost sounds like you're building a muscle the way you're
definitely.
Doing things with practice. You send yourself to, you know, try this, try that, and you're sending yourself out there and actually working the muscle so that you have more control and more power over what you're doing and how to pull yourself out of there as well, correct?
Exactly, because, you know, it's you know, you first project, you know, you're crawling on all fours, and it's a whole different ball game of what you're used to, but physical. I mean, it took the longest time to really adapt to that environment. And once I started to learn, like, the mechanics of the spiritual body, astral body, whatever you call it, then I was able to, you know, stay out a little bit longer the next time, and a little bit longer the next time. And before you know it, it's like I'm out here 10, 15 half an hour, 40 minutes at the most,
right?
And then back. But, you know, still at where I am, I mean, 20 years is a lot of traveling and a lot of data and recording all this. I still have my, like, 5, 10-second experiences, and sometimes I have my experiences where I'm out for 10, 15 minutes. Beautiful. But it's being patient and just, you know, doing the work. You know, whatever you feel in your system that can help you get out of the body and project and to experience these levels, you know, I cannot say my method is better than your method, because that's just absolutely, you know, to me, it's irrelevant. It's what you feel comfortable with and how you can actually, you know, project. And it all takes work, time, and patience, and just realizing that, why are you doing this? What is my goal? Is it just to understand life after death better? Is it to be, you know, spiritual, to open up to the world? If it, you know, try to resolve problems or to communicate with people who have passed on, you know, all that. You just got to realize, you know, what am I all doing this for? For me, I'm doing this for, you know, personal growth, spirituality, all that, but also out of love and to help others too.
All right, well, that makes sense. How are you able to help others by doing astral projection? What do you feel that you're doing that's actually able to go out and help people?
Well, through, you know, the astral projection, you know, personally for me, you know, I think, like, in a physical, tangible, you know, being able to go out in the astral world, experience these, you know, these beautiful experiences, and then come back to share these, you know, these stories, these experiences with people. I mean, a lot of people will write me, you know, through email, asking questions about life after death. How do I contact, you know, my mom who had passed on, or I'm having problems with, you know, drinking drugs, or I'm in an abusive relationship. You know, I get a lot of those questions as well, where it's like, wait a minute here, you know, step outside, look at what your life is, and what can you do to make it better? So I'm kind of like an advocate in a way of communicating with other people, not just on a, you know, astral projection, yeah, get yourself out, but on a physical, you know, drama level that I'm helping people here as well. And also, yeah, on the medical, you know, being a companion to the dying, that is just, that's just absolutely, to me, is moving because, you know, I've been on the other side. I know what lessons I've been taught. Now I got to use it on this side to help those people who are in time of need that don't have anybody, you know. I need to bring love to you instead of, you know, that darkness. So that's how I've used out-of-body experiences as a physical vehicle to help other people, not just, you know, just to get out of body, but from, you know.
Have you ever run into any of your ex-patients on one of the planes as you're, as they're passing through?
Not yet.
Anybody that you've counseled like that?
No. Mainly with hospice. I've been a volunteer for the last year. I've only had like 5 patients, and I believe in time I will run into them on the other side in the astral and the higher planes. I don't really like to communicate to my patients about my beliefs and, you know, in my background. It basically comes down to me being there for them. If they present the question to me, do you believe in life after death, blah, 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 I would say yes, I'm a very firm supporter of it. If cases do arise through hospice where somebody would like to talk to somebody that who has projected or have had near-death experiences, I'm there. I'm there for you. But it's more or less just being there for the person because everybody has different preferences, beliefs. And, you know, I don't, you know, if I'm being a spiritual companion to somebody that's Jewish, I totally respect their religious beliefs, everything in their faith. I don't want to bring my opinions and my beliefs and my preferences to that person because I'm only there to support you. I'm not here to, you know, dictate to you what is life after death because that's a personal, you know, that's a personal experience with faith, religion, God, and creed for that individual. I'm more open to communicate with people who are in that, you know, in that transcendence from physical to, you know, spiritual rebirth, but it's more just being there and just really just lifting the darkness from them when they have nobody and just say, you know, I'm here. I'm listening to you. You matter to me.
Well, that's beautiful in itself that you're helping pass that message on. Do people feel when you tell them that there is something that you've had those experiences, does it seem to make their passing easier for them?
I believe, I mean, there's still going to be that, you know, skepticism no matter what. And you got to test objectively, you know, these experiences. I do feel there is a level of comfort to, you know, who communicates to me through the website. I know through different people who've been to my site and has read my material, it's helped them become a little bit wiser, guidance, a little bit more open in their relationships to their, you know, spouses or coworkers. So a little of what I do, I like to think and hope and pray that it does make a difference. It just takes one little person to make a little difference to where then it can, you know, snowball to help other people too.
Well, David, I want to thank you very much for joining us on the show this evening. And, you know, if people are interested, again, please check out his website at invisiblelight.us. The hour got away from us, as you said. We couldn't even get a chance to scratch the surface, but hopefully we gave people a little taste of a different side of astral projection and out-of-body experiences. You got a great website, very informative, very good knowledge there, and you have some great reference material as well. So keep doing the good work, Dave. I appreciate it, and thank you very much for spending some time with us this evening.
Definitely, and again, it's an honor and it's a pleasure being on your show, and I wish you and your staff and the show best of luck.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for tuning in to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Again, if you want to talk to David Warner, you can check him out at his website at invisiblelight.us, and that's all one word, invisiblelight.us. ghostadventures.us. We're going to be right back with Zach from Ghost Adventures. So stick with us. We'll be back with more right after this.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.